this morning. Huh? Amen? He's arisen. Amen? Amen? Come on, he's alive. It is so good to see you this morning. I got to turn my microphone on. They told me they had it off in the back, but I didn't trust them, so I muted it myself so you wouldn't have to hear my singing. And that's a good thing for you. We would have cleared a church if you would have had to hear my singing. But it is so good to see you this morning. Happy Resurrection Day. I tell you, the coolest day of the year. Amen. It is so good to see all of you for a number of reasons. I see a few extra ties. You see a few extra ties this morning. Some good news with wearing dress pants and a tie is this morning I found my old debit card and Costco card. Woo! It was in my pocket, I don't know, probably 8 months or so, but... And it hasn't expired yet, so that's really good. So it was an extra good day this morning. I tell you, I have extra reason to celebrate. But so much more than that, right? But it is so good to see all of you this morning. Man, I just love those songs we sang in worship. If this is your first time here, we welcome you. Some of you I haven't seen in a while. It's good to see you. It's just good to have family celebrating the resurrection of Jesus this morning. I heard it said this week that he is not dead, and he is surely alive. I tell you, what a weekend we've had at our church. If you weren't here, you probably weren't here Friday night, but on Friday night we had our Good Friday service that we do with like 9 other churches. Down at Maple Valley Presbyterian Church, and it was awesome. It was powerful. It made me think of this debate that I got into with some pastors a few weeks ago on the way up to a retreat, and they were debating, what do you like better, funerals or weddings? Yeah, and there were some guys that actually said, I just love funerals. I was not one of those guys. But Friday had to happen so that Sunday could come, right? The remembering what Jesus did on that cross for our sins, you can't have today without Friday. You can't have the resurrection without the death. And it was so great to join together Friday as we remembered the price that Jesus paid for our sins. And then yesterday, Saturday, we had an Easter egg hunt. Didn't have any spiritual significance other than it was an opportunity that we got to love on our community. And it was so fun to see many of you helping the Sea of Blue in our blue shirts, loving on our community. I tell you, if you blinked, you missed it. Because those 20-something thousand eggs were gone in like under 2 minutes. By the time I realized my video wasn't recording, it was over. But that's okay. But it was just so fun yesterday as we saw the churches of Maple Valley, Generational Hope, this church, just love on our community, put something on for the kids. Again, doesn't have anything to do with the real meaning of Easter, but our heart for our community was shown yesterday, and that was pretty cool to be a part of. And then today, how awesome. That we get to celebrate together, that he is not dead, but he is alive. The last number of weeks at our church, we've been talking about the last words of Jesus. If you've been here, we've pretty much looked at everything Jesus said, those final moments on the cross, and the significance that the things that he spoke, what they meant to our lives. We got a glimpse of what was on the heart of the Lord in his final moments. And it wouldn't be fitting if we didn't talk about the first things that were on his heart after death, hell, and the grave. Those first few moments of him resurrecting. And so we're going to talk about that today because it gives us a glimpse of who our God is and what he wants to do in our lives today and even what he wants to do in your life today. I want to say that the message of Easter is not a message of religion. Right? I want to make that very clear because I think many of us do. It was interesting. You start hanging out with these pastors and they come up with all these different terms. There's a term called creasters. You know what creasters are? They're Christmas and Easter Christians. Right? You know, shout out to all the fellow creasters out there. Right? Woohoo! But they're people that celebrate these holidays just because you celebrate a holiday. And if that's you, that's great. We're so glad you're here today. But the message of Easter is not a message of religion. But the message of Easter is all about a message of hope. If you look through the gospel, one of the primary messages through the gospel is this message of hope. One of the famous scriptures that we quote in churches is the scripture out of Jeremiah, an Old Testament prophet, and it's 29:11, and it says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares God. And he says, they're plans to not harm you, they're not for evil, but they're plans to give you a future and a hope. And if you've heard that verse, you've been encouraged by that verse before, but that is the message of Easter, that we have a hope today because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And people say that message is simple, and it is simple. Okay, the message of the gospel is simple. And if you've been to church before, you've heard this message before. I'm going to switch microphones here in a minute because I've got really big ears, and these microphones are not meant for people with big ears. And so it is going to drive me crazy if I continue. That's one of the things. So if you'll mute this, Chad, that'd be great. That's one of the things with the Lord. Why'd you give me so big of ears, God? And I can't hear very well, but that's okay. They're big anyways. And we'll move right along. But the message of the gospel is simple this morning. And so this morning as we come, as we learn about this resurrection power, don't make it too difficult. Because if you make it too difficult, you're probably going to miss it. Because the message is very simple. But it's a powerful message that we are celebrating Jesus, the Son of God, born of a virgin, lived on this life for like 33 years, was born to die, died a brutal death, rose on the third day, and can offer hope to all who would believe. That's the message of the gospel this morning. It's interesting, in the church, you know, people refer to this day as Super Bowl Sunday, right? For the church, Easter is Super Bowl Sunday. Well, I can relate to that because I like football. I love the Super Bowl. But it's pretty interesting. If there's any football fans out there, you always anticipate Super Bowl Sunday. But you know what? What was it, 2013, 2014? It was a lot easier to get excited about the Super Bowl than it was this last year, right? Because we had, as Seattle fans, we had some skin in the game, right? We had a reason to really watch the Super Bowl, not just, well, that's what you do, right? And I think about this message of Easter, and I want us to be careful this morning that we don't allow it to just be another Sunday of, oh, I guess we're celebrating his resurrection again. That's cool. We'll eat some ham later on. That'll be good, right? But this, we have some skin in the game. We have a vested interest because this message is what gives us life and hope to live a life full of victory, as we sang earlier. Okay, so this message is not just another message, but this message is something that can change your life today. And it's important for us, whether you come to church twice a year, whether you come to church a lot a year, that you don't miss the message this morning. And here's what I know about a good story. A good story is a story that you can tell over and over again, and it doesn't lose its effect. Come on. It's a story that has power to have effect in your life year after year. And we get to tell that great story today. I was reminded this week, there's a scripture in Isaiah 25, verse 8. Because it's amazing, in the midst of the busyness and the hustle and the bustle, you know, we talk about the commercialism of Christmas, but also we look at the commercialism of Easter. And it's easy to lose track of really why are we celebrating what we're celebrating. And Isaiah 25 verse 8 says it. And it's just talking about the Lord who's yet to come. And it says he will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away all the tears. He will forever remove all insults and mockery against his land and his people. The Lord has spoken. That is what we are celebrating today. The fact that we don't have to worry about our tomorrows. We don't have to worry about what eternity is going to mean for us. In fact, it says he's going to remove the insults that are on his people. Okay, that is you and I. That is why we are celebrating what we're celebrating. I'm kind of an imaginary person, and I like to put myself in situations. Like I look at the Bible and I read the Bible, and I can only imagine what it would have been like to be one of the apostles, one of the disciples. Tried to picture myself, what if I was Mary, but I just couldn't get there, couldn't identify with that one. But I was thinking about, what if I were in the shoes of the early disciples? What if I was one of the first ones that came upon that stone on that early Sunday morning, and he wasn't there? You know, what would it have been like? And so I was imagining just experiencing what they would have gone through and thinking, this was the master plan of God. This was something that Jesus had prepped them for. This is something that Jesus had talked to them about for years as he ministered throughout. It wasn't a secret that Jesus was going to die. And so there was probably an expectation of when it all unfolded. Oh, yeah, I remember he told us about this. But in the day and age we live in today, there's a lot of misconceptions about who Jesus was and what Jesus wants to do in our lives today. You know, you talk to people that don't know Jesus, and you'll hear a lot of interesting stories. I have two friends, and one of them's a Mormon, and one of them was raised Catholic, and we have a lot of interesting debates about who Jesus was. And it's so different to see who they think Jesus was to them. But there is a difference this morning between religion and Jesus. Okay, there is a huge difference for our lives. Because if you believe Jesus as a religion, you're going to have some knowledge, right? You're going to have some ideas. But the Jesus that rose from the dead is so much more than a religion. Okay, and so I want to look at that. I want to look at, because again, religion tells us, history tells us who Jesus is. Religion, we're taught from a young age. This is what religion is. This is what you should do and shouldn't do. But Jesus is different than religion. The first thing I want to talk about is religion says there must be a separation. There must be a separation from God to man. Okay, there is a vast difference between God and man. There's something that separates the two. Where we look at who Jesus was, and if I look at the life of Jesus, God did not hide Jesus from humanity. Okay, think about that. God did not hide Jesus from humanity. What do I mean? I mean his whole life was played out in front of people. Okay, I don't know how many prophecies you had about your birth. My guess is you haven't had any. Right? There's multiple prophecies about his birth. Everyone was anticipating the birth of this coming king. Okay, you go on. You look at the life of Jesus. He had a public ministry for 33 years. God didn't keep him separate from humanity for those first 33 years. You ask the people who he ministered to. You ask the people who he raised from the dead. You ask the people who he healed. And they will say, Jesus' ministry was very public. Okay, he encountered many along the way. The last number of weeks, we've been talking about his death. His death was a public spectacle, right? They crucified him in public in the middle of the highways and the byways, so as people were passing through, so they would see That was Jesus, and he's paying for calling himself a king, right? It was a public spectacle. Okay, in fact, his tomb was public. Everyone knew where Jesus' tomb was going to be. In fact, his tomb was a borrowed tomb. It wasn't, which is interesting. Why would you give a guy who was going to be in there for eternity a borrowed tomb? Last I checked, you borrow like pressure washers and weed eaters and cars. You don't borrow tombs. Because you don't plan on giving those back. Right? I borrow your pressure washer and hopefully I'm going to bring it back. Right? I don't borrow your gravesite. When I'm done with it, man, you can have it. Okay? Everyone knew where Jesus was going to be. In fact, that they had Roman guards guarding his tomb. Well, why do you put guards at a tomb? Unless you think something is going to happen. Okay, so people knew the story. Oh, this is Jesus. He says he's going to rise. Well, they probably believed it a little bit. Otherwise, they wouldn't have put guards at the tomb. Okay, God did not hide Jesus from humanity through his 33 years of life. Okay, in fact, after Jesus rose from the dead, he was on this earth for like 40 days. And he wasn't in hiding. He wasn't just out doing his thing and saying, hey, disciples, you know, you can find me in the back, you know, in the back room. No, he was out. It says he appeared to the disciples. He appeared to his friends. He appeared to his family. He appeared to the multitudes. Okay, God did not hide Jesus from humanity. Okay, the second thing we need to look at is that Jesus is not only alive, but we need to understand that Jesus is alive and pursuing you and me. Okay, he's not just alive and, oh, I'm just in my room, just come find me. No, he's alive and he's pursuing humanity. He's pursuing you this morning. One of the first encounters we see, and I love this, it's through the angel out of Mark 16. And this is where Mary comes to the tomb and she sees the angel. And the angel says this to her. And he says, but go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee, okay, a city. There you will see him just as he told you. Okay, so this is the first encounter that Mary has with the angel in the tomb. And pretty much the angel's saying, hey, go tell his friends, go tell his family, okay, go tell the ones who walked with him, talked with him, knew him the best, go tell them where they can find Jesus. He's going to meet them in Galilee. Okay, I'm coming, he says, to meet them in Galilee. And the truth of the matter is today, nothing has changed. That Jesus is still waiting to meet his people in places like Galilee, in places like Maple Valley, in places like your home. That he is still wanting to meet you in those places. He is still pursuing his people today. Okay, we need to understand that this morning on this Resurrection Sunday. Okay, nothing has changed. The resurrecting king is still running after his people. And his desire today is to encounter you. Okay, I love the specifics of this story. Go tell the disciples, but go tell Peter. Okay, that's pretty specific, right? Go tell Peter. Go tell my disciples. Listen, if you know anything about Peter, Peter was the guy that liked to talk a good game. Okay, he was the disciple. Some of you have that disease. We call it foot and mouth disease. You know what I'm saying? Where you insert your foot so deep in your mouth and you say things and you don't know, like, how to get out of them. Like when you ask ladies, hey, are you pregnant? And they're like, no. Okay, you know what I'm talking about, foot and mouth disease, right? Been there, done that as well, sorry. Right, that was Peter, the disciple Peter, who his commitment level to Jesus was on a 10. He said, Jesus, I will do anything for you. Jesus, I'm going to cut a dude's ear off that comes to arrest you.
right? Jesus, you don't need to worry about me. When, you know, if they come, when things get hard, Jesus, I'm there for you. And then Peter denied him, not once, not twice, but denied him three times, right? Peter was the guy that could talk the game, but when the rubber hit the road, reality set in, and, you know, he gave in. And so I find it very significant that Jesus wanted to make it very clear to Peter, to the one that did the most harm, to the one that denied him the most. He said, hey, you make sure Peter knows I'm coming to see him. Okay, that gives my life hope today. That gives your life hope today. Because you might not know Jesus. You might have sin in your life today. You might have things in your life that you're ashamed of today. And I believe the heart of Father God would still say, I'm coming for you. I'm pursuing you. Hey, I remember that you denied me three times, or I remember that you did this, or I remember that you were, you know, unfaithful here or unfaithful there, but I want you to know that this morning on Resurrection Sunday, that I'm coming to meet you. I'm coming for you. Not just for the ones that look good and wear a tie and have done no wrong, but I'm coming for those that have wronged me the most. That's a good word for us this morning. That gives me hope today. You know, we talked last week about the significance of separation. You know, when Jesus spoke his last words on the cross, it says that there was an earthquake and that the veil was torn from top to bottom. Okay, what that means is there was a barrier from God to man. And with Jesus' death, God was saying, I'm getting rid of that barrier. Any man can approach me. Anyone can be in my presence. You don't have to be hidden from God any longer. Okay, so there was an earthquake. There was a tearing of the veil. But Jesus takes it one step further. Because today you and I can find the presence of God. You and I can approach boldly the throne of God. That's what the Bible says, that we can go. But here's the cool thing. Jesus isn't waiting for you. Jesus is running to you. He's not waiting for us just to, well, when they're ready. No, he says when you're ready, but he says, but I'm going to run to you, and I'm going to pursue you. So it's not just that we have this open area to approach God, but we have a God that is running towards us, not just waiting for us. I love this name Galilee, right? That's the city, a fishing city. Okay, the word Galilee has many meanings, but one of the meanings of the word Galilee, where Jesus was waiting for his disciples, it means an entrance to a place that can gain you access. Think about that for a minute. He's waiting for us at a place that can give us access. Well, access to what? Jesus wants to give you access to a life full of hope. Jesus wants to give you access, and he's waiting for his people at a place of access, right? Galilee was access. So think about that. Access for victory in your life. He's waiting for you at that place of access. He's waiting you for that access of freedom. How many of you need freedom in your life today? He's waiting for you at the doorway of freedom. And he's has it accessible to you. I love that. Okay, moving right along. Religion always wants to tell the story of the resurrection in the third person. Come on, you know what I mean? The third person? For them, they came to the tomb and saw it. For they saw Jesus hanging on the cross. Religion always wants to keep the resurrection story in the third person. Come on, think about it. When you tell a story, how much more powerful is it when you say, I could tell you all day long what you should do. You should do this. You should do that. You should experience this restaurant. You should try this vacation spot. I read about it one time. I heard it was good. Had cool pictures. But Jesus always wants to tell the story in the first person. Okay, It's one thing to talk about the resurrection. It's a second thing to experience the resurrection. Because I could tell you all day long how Jesus is going to change your life, how Jesus is good, how Jesus is really cool. And you're like, I've heard that before. But when I tell you that because of Jesus and because of what he did on the cross and because that he rose again 3 days later, and because I encountered this Jesus when I was 14 years old, and he has taken a wreck of a man, and he's turned him into a man that has hope. And when I tell you that he's freed me from things, and when I tell you that he set me free, and that I tell you that he's told me that I can walk in victory, and when I tell you what Jesus has done in me, the story just got real. Okay, the story just got real, right? Because again, most people don't want to hear what they should do. But when I start telling you what he did for me or how it changed my life, it's a game changer, people. It's a game changer. It's a game changer. How has this power changed you? How has it changed me? Well, it's given me hope. 1 Corinthians 15, this is Paul talking. And I love this because I believe this is part of our revelation this morning that Jesus wants to have with us. But this is Paul talking, and he's talking about the resurrection in verse 3, and we'll read through 10. But it says, "For I delivered to you as of very first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." Okay, we've heard that before. I heard that last Easter. That was cool. "And that he appeared to the 12. And then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at once. Most of them are still alive, so you can talk to them about it. Some of them have fallen asleep. Can't talk to them. Verse 7, "Then he appeared to James. Then to the rest of the apostles." We've heard that before. "Last of all, as to one abnormally born, he also appeared to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And the grace toward me was not in vain." Listen, Jesus appeared to the disciples. Oh, he appeared to the 500. Oh, you know, he appeared to my wife, 10 years ago. He appeared to my grandma. But has he appeared to you? Has he appeared to me? Can you tell that story in the first person? Because if we miss out on the resurrection, we've missed out on everything. It is the cog that holds it all together. It is the link. Okay? It's it. Without the resurrection, we have nothing. And Paul is trying to relay in this message, hey, he appeared to all these people, but he appeared to me. He says, "I was abnormally born." Well, what does that mean? What does abnormally born mean? Because most of us that were born, we're all born like two different ways, right? We came out of a C-section or our mom delivered us, right? What does abnormally born mean? Okay, he's pretty much saying, hey, I wasn't there with Jesus the whole way. I was the last one to the party. I wasn't there when Jesus had all his intimate moments with his disciples. Okay, I wasn't one of the first ones that he appeared to. I was abnormal. And I want to just encourage this morning, your past does not define your future. It doesn't matter if you don't know who Jesus is, if this is your first time in church, it doesn't matter. What matters this morning is he appearing to you. Is he appearing to you? You see, until you have that appearance where Jesus appears to you, it's just a story. Oh, we'll hear it next year. That's cool. It's a good story. You know, I think part of the problem that we have around this is so many people are trying to define who Jesus is to them. Think about that for a minute. Who is Jesus to you? You know, many would say he was a good guy. Oh, Jesus, he was a good guy. I would agree with that. Would you agree with that? He was a good guy. He did a lot of good things. People would say he was a religious teacher. Well, he taught scripture, so okay, I would agree with that. Would you agree with me? Yeah, he taught scripture. I do find it interesting that if he was just a religious teacher, well, it was the other religious teachers that killed him. So he couldn't have been, like, similar to them because they killed him. So I think he was more than a religious teacher. Time magazine calls Jesus the most historical figure that we know. So he was a historical figure, yeah, but is that all he is to you? There's t-shirts that say, Jesus is my homie. That's cool, right? That's all right. They say Jesus was a moral leader. I would agree with that, right? He led a moral revolution. People say that he was a social activist. He had a cause, and he did. He was always looking out for the weak one, right? He defended the orphan. He defended the widow. He stood up for the weak. So I could see that. But I'm telling you right now, I hope your picture of Jesus in your mind isn't just Jesus in, like, downtown Seattle leading the peace rallies. Okay, because that's not the only aspect of Jesus that we want to encounter today. How do we know who he is? Because we've encountered him. How do our disciples, the disciples that talk about him, knew who he was? Because it's an eyewitness account of what he did in their life. Okay, how do we know he works miracles? Because we can see him. How do we know that he can take hopeless situations and breathe hope into them? Because I was hopeless, and I now have hope. Okay, it's all about the eyewitness account. Who do you say today that he is for your life? We all have to answer that question, whether we call ourselves Christians or not. Religion, I love religion, but religion always begins with how do we love God? Where Jesus has already loved us first. Okay, religion always begins with how we love God, but Jesus begins with his love for us. Okay, the Bible in John 4, it says that we love because he first loved us. Listen, love God. Love God passionately, but you got to know that he loved you first. That he pursued you first. Because I have my days with the Lord where my love for God is up and down. Okay, my love for God is unfaithful at times. My love for God is not like his love for me. My love for God is oftentimes based on feeling. Okay, so I can't base my whole life on how much I love God because my love for God will fail. But it's a revelation that we all have when we come to Jesus that says, but he first loved me so much in spite of my sin. You got to know that this morning. Whether you believe in God today or not, I want to tell you that he believes in you. Whether you've wronged God today or not, God loves you today. He loves you today. One of the last things about religion I want to talk about today is religion always wants to focus on the things that we do. Okay, the works, how much we go to church, how much we do good for others. Religion always focuses on our works, but Jesus always focuses on God's grace. Religion always focuses on works, but Jesus' focus is on his grace. Don't get me wrong. Works are important, right? Being a follower of Jesus means that we're doing things, means that we're serving him with our abilities, with our giftings. But it's not the starting place. The starting place is his grace is abundant for us. The starting place is you received a gift called grace. And we receive that gift. You know, Romans 5, verse 6 through 11, I think there's no other scripture that says it as good as this one, but it says this. It says, "Why you were still weak, why at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinning, he died for us. Since then, you've been justified by his blood. Much more shall be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were still enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we're reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus, through whom we now have received reconciliation." Listen, we know the word, but while we were still sinners, he already died. He didn't wait for you to get cleaned up. He didn't wait for you to be on your A game or your best day. While you were at your worst, he said, "I'm giving my blood for you." Man, that's a powerful revelation for us today. Religion's goal is always to get to God. Think about what you've seen done in the name of religion. Right? Well, if you do this, what's going to happen? You're going to be one with God. Think about all the different religions in the world. It's all based on works. Well, if you do these things, then you're going to be one with God. But Jesus' goal is to get to the heart of man. That's his goal today. Religion says you got to get to God by doing things. And Jesus says, my goal is to get to your heart. That's the story of Jesus. God the Father saying, I'm coming up with a plan that I can get to the heart of my people. Because people tried in the Old Testament, right? They built towers to get to God. Didn't work. But God said, I'm going to come up with a plan that's going to get to the heart of my people, and I'm going to send my son. You know, this morning we can't bridge the gap by ourselves. There's a gap from earth to heaven. There's nothing we can do to bridge that gap. The only possibility, if you want the presence of heaven in your life, is for you to allow Jesus to come in and have control over your life. That's it. The last thing I want to say this morning is religion says you have to be good. Jesus says you have to be alive. Religion says you have to be good, but the story of Jesus is about dead things coming to life. Not bad people doing better, about dead things coming to life. You know, sin doesn't just make us bad people. The Bible says that sin makes us dead. It kills our spirit. Okay, I know a lot of good people that do good things, but their spirit is dead because they don't have Jesus. Right? Jesus came to bring life and to speak dead things to life. You know, people have asked me this question. I think for us as a church, how do we know? People have asked me, what if at the end of your life you realize you were wrong about Jesus? Religion is a gamble. Because how many theories are out there? Hundreds. Religion is a gamble. But the Bible says that with Jesus, all of his promises are yes and amen. With religion, you gamble. Well, hopefully I picked the right religion. But with Jesus, his promises are yes. How do we know? How do we know? Ecclesiastes 3 says this. It says, he has made everything beautiful and appropriate in its time. And this is about God. He has also planted eternity, which is a sense of divine purpose, in the human heart. Listen. We know because there is a sense of eternity that exists in every human spirit. Right? Believers, non-believers. Everyone says, I just know there's more. Or that thought just absolutely drives them crazy every day of their life. What if I'm wrong? Right? Because there's eternity that's set in our hearts. Right? There is eternity that is set in our hearts, right? That says there must be more, right? I look at the beginning of our story today. The beginning of our story is this. We have an empty tomb. We don't have a dead body in the tomb. We have an empty tomb that says there must be more. And there is a life that Jesus offers us. That's more. I want to read, just in closing today. And you could put the words up there, Alicia. It's one of the songs we sang today. It's called Glorious Day. I want to read these words. Because I think in this room, most of us probably have Jesus in our hearts. But I also know that there's people in here that maybe don't have Jesus in your hearts. And you've heard today, and we're celebrating resurrection life. And I think we're all faced with that question, whether we have Jesus in our life or not, is who do we say he is to us? And what do you say his power means in your life? I want to read this. It says this. It says, I was buried beneath my shame. You put those up for me. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb until I met you. I was breathing, but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb until I met you. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. Now your mercy has saved my soul. Now your freedom is all that I know. The old made new, Jesus, when I met you. When you called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. I needed rescue, my sin was heavy, but my chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan, but now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future. My eyes are open. Come on, that's the story this morning. Hey, Steve, would you come up here and just play? And you could play this song. But here's what I want to do on this Resurrection Sunday is, again, I don't know where everyone's at in this room, but I think we're all faced with this question. And I look about the song that I just read to you, And can I ask you the question, is that true in your life today? Or are the chains still holding you back? You may say, man, I still feel like I'm an orphan today. I still feel like I'm just getting beat down by life. I still feel like my sin is heavy. And I want to encourage you this morning to encounter Jesus. To encounter the one that conquered death, hell, and the grave. And encounter that resurrection life for your life today. Because I have those moments, and even this week, that shame wanted to come back and say, well, you're not free from it. The enemy wanted to remind me, do you really think you can walk in resurrection life? Come on, this morning, is the enemy trying to remind you that you're still bound? So here's what I want to do. We're going to end with just singing this song. But I just want everyone in here to close your eyes. And I want you to think about your life with Jesus. And I want you to really evaluate, what does resurrection life mean to you? What does Jesus mean to you? Because this morning, the resurrection life of Jesus wants to impart into our lives. And so some of you, if you're feeling a stirring in your heart, and you just feel like you want to make things right with God, I just want to encourage you, this morning you can make things right with God. This morning, for some of us that walk in resurrection life, I think it's a challenge to say, am I really tapping into the resurrection power of Jesus? And I hope your takeaway is, Lord, I want to tap into your resurrection power. So all over this place, I'm just going to pray over us and then we'll dismiss. But Father, I thank you for today. Father, we thank you for today. Father, we thank you for resurrection power. That you sent your son Jesus not only to die, but to be raised to life. And Father, all over this room, you're calling each of our names, whether for the first time or for the 100th time. But Father, I pray that we as a people would respond today to your resurrection power. And Father, today that many of us can say, it's not just another story, but it's a story that has changed my life. And Father, I pray for those that maybe have never encountered you. Father, for those that whose sin is still weighing them down, whose shame is still beating them up. Father, I pray today on this Resurrection Sunday that they would encounter you. Father, and I just pray that you even right now by your Holy Spirit would do work in our heart. All over this place, we invite you, Jesus, to come into our lives. We invite you, Jesus, to break our chains. We invite you, Jesus, to invade us with your hope. Amen. Come on, can you receive that this morning? Come on, we have reason to celebrate this morning. Come on, let's give him a hand. Let's celebrate what that resurrection life has done in us. Come on. I tell you, it changes everything. I want to encourage us today as you go. If you don't know Jesus, and you want to know Jesus, and you want to invite this resurrection life, I believe you prayed that prayer with us. But if you would love to, I would love to pray for you after the service. I know most of us probably know Jesus, but I don't want to assume that everyone in here knows Jesus. If you need prayer this morning, I want to encourage you to come, and we want to pray over you this morning on Resurrection Sunday. But come on, let's go out of here today celebrating his life, celebrating his hope, and celebrating his goodness. Amen? Come on, church, you're released. Love you. God bless.
Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave.